I know that this can help you. Things that we talk to you about can help you. And it's something that's greatly needed. And a lot of times I don't talk to you about these things, but if I get a chance, I get the right kind of spirit, I try to talk with you about the things that will help you. We're glad to have you here. Try not to take long tonight. Just talk to you about a few things. There's things that the minister can say that will help you to become more spiritual. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. See, if God is a spirit, then for us to have fellowship with God, then we must be spiritual. See, how can you have fellowship with a spirit if you're not spiritual? If I'm carnal-minded, natural-minded, you know, that's the way that we're born into the world. And if we are that way, then we don't have any relation at all with the spirits. But see, God is a spirit. Angels are spirits. And for us to fellowship spirits, then we have to be spiritual. When you're born into the world, you're carnal. You're natural-minded. You die. To be carnally minded is death. You know, you do the things of the carnal mind. That's what I'd like to explain tonight. Just a few little things along there. Just kind of teach a little and talk with you just a little bit to instruct you. Something that might help you. Let's read just a little bit from the book of Acts, can we? The third chapter of the book of Acts, the 19th verse says, repent. It starts off by saying repent. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now, if you'll notice, it says a prophet, a man. It says, Moses said, someday God will raise up a man, a prophet. And we know that that prophet was Jesus. It says, a prophet, the Lord your God, raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. That is, he'll raise up a prophet like unto me, Moses said. Now Moses was a great, mighty man in the earth. No man like him in all the earth, the Bible said. So the Bible teaches that God at one time would raise up a man that would be nobody like him in all of the earth. And the thing is, we know that that was Jesus. I know different ones said that was Brother Branham. And Brother Branham was a great, mighty man. God bless Brother Branham as he will do. He's passed on. Brother Branham was one of the most mighty men that ever walked the earth. But Brother Branham was not that prophet, only to the extent that he was bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh as to his measure. But when he spoke of this prophet, it was Jesus.
He was a man, said he shall be like unto your brethren. He will be one of the brethren. And he'll raise up that prophet. And it says here that everyone that will not hear that prophet, that is, that will not hear the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall be cut off from among the people. Can't go to another prophet. Can't have another ministry. Can't wait till another ministry comes. The one that don't hear that ministry, he don't go to heaven. That's the end of it. And when we wonder if it was Jesus, we find that it says, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. That is, Peter is speaking, and Peter said, right now, these days. That's what they was talking about. These days where the Son of God has been here. These days. All right, so he said, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant, which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, that's the prophet, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. It tells you who he is right there. So it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, since we know that it is the Lord Jesus Christ, then we understand what God is saying and what the Lord is trying to tell us. The great, mighty Jesus, no one like Jesus. The Bible says, he is the one, and that day he alone shall be exalted. No one else shall be exalted in that day. He alone shall be exalted. And like the songwriter said, in that day he will outshine them all. So I'm not here tonight to tell you about me and my ministry. And I'm not here tonight to tell you about anybody else's ministry. I'm here to tell you about the prophet that God said he would raise up like unto your brethren. And that it would come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear that prophet would be cut off from among the people. Now, I do tell you this, that whether it's me, whether it's Brother Branham is in his day, whether it's somebody in another day or another person somewhere in the world today, if they are truly son of God, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, when they speak, it is not them speaking, but that prophet. It is the Heavenly Father speaking from within them. So then ye are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And Paul said, it is not I that liveth, but that prophet. Not I that liveth, but it is the Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. So then if I was here tonight as me, as the natural me, I would be here trying to do my natural thing, as we say. When I was back there in the world, and I was of the world, I did the things of the world. And I was interested in the world, I was interested in the things of the world, I wanted to talk about what I thought about, what I liked to do, and that was the way I did it. But when I become a Christian, and I died out to the world, then I was buried in the name of Jesus, and since that time, as Paul said, it has not been me living, but Christ living within me. I've been slow to develop. I've been like a little child. I had to grow up. Paul said, till Christ be formed within you. And I had to grow up, and I did the things of the child. And then when I became older in God, I put away childish things. And I've had to grow up, and I'm still growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus toward the full measure, the full stature. And if I continue to do this, then that means I'm one with him. If there is anything that is lacking in my life, God automatically makes up for it because Jesus said, my Father and I are one. And if I do everything that's possible within my heart and within my mind to be like the Lord Jesus, to honor the Lord Jesus, then that means that there is nothing of my life that God will allow to be between me and him. Everything that I would do as to stumbling or as to a failure, God would automatically take it away. It's swallowed up in Calvary, and I'm one with my Heavenly Father. So tonight, knowing this, then I speak to you as the oracle of God. And I do all things as unto the Lord, and I come to you in the name of Jesus, that I might tell you these things, and that I might speak to you according to what that prophet has said. God has raised up a prophet like unto your brethren, and it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. So I'm here tonight to tell you the wonderful words of that prophet, and the things of that prophet, the desire of that prophet, and to let you know that someday that prophet will stand before you and you'll see the nail prints in his hand, and you'll also see those thorn places made in his head. You'll see the place in the side. You'll see the nail prints in the feet. You'll see the back where the bruises and the cuts were made. Someday that prophet that dragged the cross up Dolorosa, where some of you have been, someday that prophet will stand there, just like I'm standing here as a man. He will stand there before you someday, and you will see him just exactly the way that you see me. During the time of his absence, he sent me to tell you about him. And during the time that he's not here, then I'm here in his stead. And the Bible said he has sent us in his stead, but that we might come as ambassadors of Christ, standing in his stead, beseeching the world that you should be reconciled unto God. And we're like a little candlelight that stands before you. And I'm here tonight as that light of God to stand before you according to the measure that God has endowed me with. And when the great chief shepherd comes and the great light of all the ages as he sits upon the throne coming after the millennium, then when he comes, this little candle will be seen no more, in that I and him will be one. And as his light is, so will my light be. And as my light is, so will his light be. And it'll be one glorious light that will shine throughout eternity. And I with him and he with me, for he alone dwells within that light. God, the great light, whom no man can see, whom no man has ever seen. Jesus Christ alone dwells in that light, having immortality. And if I'm part of the Lord Jesus Christ, if I am a member of his body, then I am in that light and I dwell in that light. And that light will be a consummation to all things as it appears after the millennium. So we're speaking to you of the restitution, which is the millennium. And once the restitution comes, every species that was ever lost, everything that has ever become extinct, all of this will be brought back. And every bit of it will be restored to its full life, its full strength. There won't be any diseases, there won't be any interruptions, there won't be any sin, there won't be any malice, there won't be any sorrow. And the Bible says when Lucifer is bound, God binds him, that nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And the Bible said all of the world will be at peace, won't be any wars, won't be any fighting. Won't be any ugly thoughts. Won't be any ugly doings. It'll be like the vision I saw the other night when I saw these people completely without care. They were carefree. So we're telling you about the millennium, and following this great millennium, once it's restored, everything has been restored. All of God's creation has been fully restored. Then it'll be changed and be glorified. You and I also being glorified. We'll live in that wonderful age that comes after the millennium, that endless age of worlds without end. And the great light, even the heavenly Father, shall shine, and the sea shall pass away and the mountains shall pass away, and everything will be made new. It'll be a transformation of all the earth and all of the people. And it'll be a glorious, celestial, beautiful city filled with the radiance and glory of God. Now, I just run through them few short things to bring you over to this thought. While we are yet in this world, we have problems. While we are yet here in the flesh, and we that are born of God, we're not in the flesh. We are in the spirit. But Paul speaks of being in the world to the extent that your body is still here. Though in the sight of God, God never sees your body at any time. God never sees your wrongs at any time. He never sees your faults at any time. He never sees your stumblings at any time. He never sees your surmisings at any time. See, because the blood of Jesus took care of that at Calvary and the entire world passed away, and God sees it no more. All he sees is that great day of his light approaching after the millennium. He doesn't see the world anymore. Now, during the millennium, he will see the world through the blood of Jesus as to restoration without sin. And when he looks upon you and I, if we be Christians, then he looks upon us. He doesn't see any sin. All he sees is the body of the Lord Jesus. He sees the body and flesh and bone and blood of the Lord Jesus. When he looks at me, he never sees me except as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, it's not I that liveth. That part is dead. That part is crucified. That part is gone. That's what Jesus did when he come in a sinful image. He done away with the image of sin. He buried it. It's gone forever. God never sees it anymore. Paul said, I am dead by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then it is not I that liveth, but it is Christ. For from Calvary on, all God ever sees as Paul is the Lord Jesus himself. And the same way with you and I, we are the children of the living God. We are bone of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh. And God never sees your mistakes, never at any time. Jesus, the Son of God, being our high priest, we go to God, our Heavenly Father, through the Lord Jesus. So that the Heavenly Father can look at you and I through the shed blood of his Son. Otherwise, he would consume us. When the millennium passes away and his Son isn't there, all of the earth passes away. As long as his Son is sitting on the throne for 1,000 years, the earth doesn't pass away. But after the 1,000 years, just as quick as Jesus goes into that great light as the Ancient of Days, all of the world passes away. Everything passes away. And God makes everything new all over again. It would take a long time for me to go into the things that I would like to say to you concerning this, because I'd just like to take my time and explain a few things to you as to what the significance of these things are. So, we have a problem. In this flesh, we have a problem. Though I'm not in the flesh, because my body is dead and gone, I have no problem with God. My sins are gone forever. I'm free from sin and condemnation. I'm not in the flesh. Therefore, the Bible says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in the Spirit, who walk not after the flesh. See, we don't walk after the flesh. We don't walk after the flesh. We're not in the flesh. I don't have a problem with God. I don't have a problem with salvation. I have a problem with me. I have a problem in that Lucifer still has the chance to war with my mind. Still has the chance to war with my flesh. War with my members. Not that he can harm me. Not that he can spot me. I keep myself and he never touches me. Never at any time. For I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit as to my angelic being. And my angelic being can never sin, can never be spotted. But Lucifer is in the world, and my body is still made of the dust. And he's the prince of the powers of the air as to the atomic particles. And the prince of the powers of the air as to the angelic beings, as to those that are fallen. Under his supervision, they're moving around everywhere. And the whole world is dark. It's darkness. There is no light in the world. The whole world is darkness. From the time of the fall in the garden, the whole world is in darkness. Intellectual darkness. And there is no light at all in the world except you and me and the Christians that are the little candle lights that are shining for God. And when we come together as a candle power, then we have a greater light. In a unity. That's why Satan tries to keep us apart. One can put 1,000 to flight. But if he ever lets two of us get together, we can put 10,000 to flight. That is demons. See, so we have power over 10,000 devils if two of us can agree as touching anything. Asking it of God, it'll be done. But, and a lot of times I get with Brother Taylor, I say, Brother Taylor, let's pray for these people. I get with somebody else, I say, let's pray for these people. And I said, we're going to agree that God's going to heal them. And we try to do that. So I said, hallelujah, glory to God, they're healed. We agreed on it. But that ain't right. It is right to the extent that we did agree that I was lying. that God did bless them and they've got a chance. But it wasn't right to the extent as to what the Bible says in the sense of two being agreed. You've got to have two people that agree. That's living holy, godly, and pure. They agree in spirit. They are just exactly alike. Find two of them that is holy and godly, just exactly alike, and let them do something, and just like that, God does it. And that's almost an impossibility in the earth to find that. But nevertheless, that's our privilege in God. So that's why I talk to you like I do, and I pull at you like I do. And my wife, I'm constantly saying, Betty, please agree with me. Betty, please be like this. And of course, you know, well, what can you say? I say, Brother Taylor, would you please? And you know, somebody says, know it all. You think you're everything. Like Brother Branham's wife said, Billy, you think you know everything. Pam went to the door and out she went. You know, in other words, I'm saying this. It's hard to find somebody that can fully agree with you or to get into the spirit with you, because every man's ways is right in his own eyes. As far as he's concerned, you're the one that's wrong, and what you need to do is convert and get in with him, you know. And so here we go. I said, look, folks, I got the answer. Somebody said, glory to God. George Washington had it too. I got it, and everybody's got it. Let's all get together. You know, and I mean, that's the outlook of the world. I said, but folks, you don't understand. I really got it. Oh, I know that. I know that. You're really something. I'm Abraham Lincoln, and you're, you know, who in the world would have thought? All right, so that's how radical it is. You can't tell anybody anything because everybody's got the answer. You know, the president has the answer. The senator has the answer. Everybody's got the answer. The man with a college degree, he's got the answer. But I found one thing, you know, in my lifetime, the Bible said, let every man be a liar and the word of God be true. And folks, believe it or not, this is the answer. I've found the answer. It's a little saying, Christ is the answer. And that is true. I found that to be absolutely a fact. I've proven that. All right, so that's where we're at. Right back to looking for an absolute in the earth. How am I going to believe anything? This man wrote a book, and that man wrote a book, and that man had a ministry, and this man had a ministry, and this man went to college, and this man over here, he's a great orator. And so all of them is knowledgeable. All of them is right. All of them has the answers as far as they're concerned, and everybody else ought to listen at them. As a matter of fact, they've got so perverted in their minds and they've got so beside themselves in their mind that there is a number of them that has got together that is supposed to be the cream of the crop. And these are supposed to be the supreme know-alls. And they are so supreme that what they've done, they've got together, and the different people that uphold this as to many people, you know, they've decided that these are the supreme ones, so what they're going to do is let them decide what is right in the Bible and what is not right in the Bible. And whatever they want, well, that's right. And whatever they don't want, well, that ain't, you know, we don't use that anymore. I read about it. They got this going already. See, the world is about to be turned over to reprobate minds. Somebody would say these intellectual geniuses, I say the intellectual fanatics, have got together and they've decided that they can take God's word and they're going to be the authority on God's word. Instead of letting God's word judge them and see if they're any, you know, got anything, they're going to judge God's word and see whether it's authentic or not as to what they decide is right and not what is not right. Now, that means that the end of the world must be close by. That means that God's about to turn all of them over to reprobate mind. Somebody said, I would never believe that, Brother Pike. Well, it's a true fact that the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals and the Catholics and all of them put together is hatching their preachers out of seminary, and they're believing them because they're doctors of divinity, just like doctors of medicine and doctors of everything else, you know. You know, they get a doctor's degree and they're a doctor of this and a doctor of that, I mean, it's just a mess. That's all it is, too. We got a bunch of medical doctors, as we call them, that ain't got enough understanding to even be in the hospital. And they're butchering and killing and everything else. You know, some of them's a bunch of dope addicts. But anyway, we've got some preachers that's in the same condition. They're doctors of divinity, and they're still in the same condition. All right, so I said that to try to get around to saying something. We got a problem. We got a problem. Lucifer is the prince of this world. And I've asked the Lord at times, I've said, God, what is this? I say, I get so weary. I get so tired, Lord. I say, out here, I pray, whether in the night or in the morning or whatever. I pray and I pray and I pray. You know, and I say, what is this? You can't go to town. You can't do anything. You can't do anything through the law. You can't do anything here. Everything is against God. Everything is against the Christians. And Lord, why is it that you let this thing go on? All you've got to do is just take one little breath and you'd blow them slap into eternity. Why do you put up with their mess like that? Well, the answer comes back like this. First of all, what about your son? Is he ready to go? What about your daughter? Is she ready to go? What about your mother? What about your father? What about your children and their children and his and on and on and on? Would you like for me to just blow them into eternity and forget about everything and send them all to hell that ain't right? And I think, no. You know, it's like the song, Lord, wait a little longer. So I wait till tomorrow and they're twice as bad as they was the day before. You know, I think, well, if you give them another week and then they're twice as bad as they was the week before. And humanity is getting worse. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. The Bible said, wicked men wax worse and worse and worse, and they will wax worse, which means they're worse today than they were yesterday. And those men happen to be your sons and my sons and everybody else's sons. So then they're getting worse all the time. I wait one day for them to get better, and then they're worse. The insane asylums are filled up. The hospitals are filled up. The prisons are filled up. Now, do you think the prison straightens them out? You put them in prison? No, they become a bunch of sodomites. Why, they got all kind of dope in there. They've even got their little rings set up in there, and they're making money in there. They got men that get in prison regular so they can keep things going in there. You know? And they live in there just like you live out here, and they've got the underworld working with them and make sure that they're living good in there. You understand? That's just their second home in there. All right, so that's the way the world is. You say, I don't believe they do that. Well, somebody come to me yesterday to show you they run things like they want to. They have a man in prison. I believe he's been in prison 12 years. He got upset. He said he caught the sheriff here in Monroe County, I believe it was, taking up time with his wife, so he killed him. Put him in jail, had him there for 12 years. I hope I got this right. If I ain't, whoever you are, you better tell me. This is the best I remember it. Anyway, so what happens? He comes up for parole, or he comes up to get a chance to get out, and they said, we can't let you out, you drink. And it comes up again, we can't let you out. Now, this is the way they told it to me. Said, you drink. Now, I think I got something out of balance. Maybe he's been there 20 years. I don't know how many years. But anyway, I believe he said 12 years since he drank any. I remember that much. I believe he said 12 years since he drank any. But anyway, he's been in prison all this time, and he's fixing to come up again. And they're looking for him to do the same thing to him. Come up for parole, that is. Or chance for parole. So I said that to say this. No doubt, they feel like if he killed the sheriff, he's liable to kill the next sheriff. Well, if they turn him loose, he's liable to kill some of the policemen. You know, he might be out just long enough to kill somebody. And they're afraid of him. No doubt that's what it is, or they let the man out. Because there's murderers walking the street everywhere. But this particular fella is under the particular control of these particular authorities. And so I guess they're afraid of him. What else could it be? I'm just saying that like the fire truck. See, you see the condition of the people. We've got a problem. I say, Lord, why is this thing like that? And then I realize that the reason that it is like that is that I hear God say, son, because Satan, Lucifer, is the prince of this world. This is the land of Esau. He's in power. He's in rule. Since man fell from God, God has no part in this world. This world is filled with darkness. And the only light in this world is you or a brother or sister in Christ.
And the only thing that God owns is just what you own and what you've dedicated to Him and what other Christians own and what they've dedicated to Him and what they've given to Him. And that's why I try as hard as I do to keep this campground clean. Because I gave this to God. I got this for God. I gave this to God. This is a little corner of the world right here that God owns. This is His. I gave it to Him. He doesn't have anything else except what I give Him and what you give Him. And this is His, and we're going to keep it clean and we're going to keep it straight. Praise God. Amen. I intend to do it. All right, had a hard time doing it. I've been attacked from every place, you know. And like the vision the other night, like you say, you get the bull by the tail, I got the devil by the whiskers, if that's what he's got. Whatever, and according to the vision, I didn't turn him loose till the end of the world came. So this message has got him. God's got him, and he's going to turn him loose. And he's going to rage and he's going to howl because he defiles everything, everywhere, including human beings and whatever. So in this little place, we're going to do something for God. All right, so we've got a problem. We've got a problem. See, those things harass you. Those things talk to your mind. The Bible said after the flood, God looked down from heaven and all the earth was evil. All the world was wicked. He said, and men's thoughts were continually evil. And so then Jesus died that we might have a life through Christ. So in this, we find at Calvary that Jesus said, I've come at last. I am the light of the world. Now I go away, I'm the old lamp lighter, we say, the candle lighter. I light this candle and that candle, and now I go away, and now ye are the light of the world. I am the light of the world, I'm the full measure of God, but I'm within a veil. And when I rend this veil, then I'm going to be gone because that's going to be the end of me because I'm the veil that covers the light as to the Jesus part. And when the Christ comes, he isn't going to come in a full thing of a human being, but he's going to come in measure. And every little candle is going to be lit and I'm going away and then ye shall be the light of the world. So like a lot of times they have a candle lighting service and everybody brings a candle and all their little candles are put together to make one great candle power. Scientists accounts for light as candle power. All right. Frank sings, let your little light shine. So we've got a problem in the world. What is the problem? As long as you are unchanged in the body, though you're already changed in the spirit, yet as long as you are unchanged in the body, Satan can probe at you. Satan can bring dirty, filthy thoughts to your mind. Satan, different spirits can just fly right through and get near you and just like that. All kind of things is brought to you. You know, you'd just be just as happy as you can be. You know, and your wife gets upset, something hits her, and she gets upset and you ain't done nothing. You know, and then that gets you upset. You know, and somebody said, well, bless God, kill her. You know, you hear something say, kill her, get rid of her. And something says, nah, I wouldn't do that. Another old devil, he comes by, I wouldn't do that. I'd frolic. That's what I'd do. I'd show her. I'd slick up and I'd frolic. And another old devil, old sloppy drunk devil, come by, I wouldn't do that. Get me a bottle of beer and I'd pitch a drunk. You know, and here we go. One thing and then another thing and another thing. Sissy is sitting over here and Junior's sitting over yonder and he's 14 and she's 13. And you say, why would you please shut up? Sissy said, that's the way it is. I'm gone. Off she goes. I ain't staying here. I'm getting my apartment myself. And off she goes. And Junior, he jumps in his little buggy and he spins the wheels and he goes off, you know. And you sit there and you think, oh my God, what have I raised? You know, you're like the man, the little story about Frankenstein. You begin to look around and you wonder if you've produced a monster. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of them walking around. Frankenstein would be a credit to them if there was such a thing. But anyway, I'm saying that we got a problem, folks. We've got a problem. What are we going to do? See, what are we going to do? Caught a bunch of vampires and werewolves running around. Every time the moon gets just right, here they go. What we need is more God. We need, you know, we need the good angels of God. Like when they came and ministered to Jesus and gave him strength. See, we need godly thoughts. We need holy thoughts. I need something coming to my mind that's
Paul, you know, something strike my mind up here, and I hear somebody say, Brother Taylor's a fine man. He's trying to do something for God. Say something to encourage him. That's the kind of thoughts I need up here. You know, instead of somebody say, or something said to me, Boy, that Frank Taylor, you think he's a fine fellow, but if you could just look and see what he's doing under the cover, you know, and the things like that. God, dirty, filthy fellow, you know, I'll tell you what, you just don't know what he's doing. He's working over, and every dollar you put up there, he's stealing it from you. I don't need them kind of thoughts. I don't need them kind of thoughts. I need to go with God. I don't need to think that way about my brothers and sisters. You know, I don't need to go around and think, well, I don't know, my wife might die. I wonder who that is in the audience. I'm going to need another wife. I wonder. Well, there's one over yonder and one over here. You know, well, say, but that one's married. Well, he might die too. You know, we could work it out. Come on, folks, let's give God on. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about the way that people do in this world and the way they think. And let me tell you something. When you think like that, did you know you are a fornicator and you are an adulterer? Amen. Amen. You are an adulterer and you are a fornicator. If you'd have been straight and you'd been godly, you wouldn't have had no such thoughts going around your mind. In the first place, that's your sister in God. And the Bible said to love her with all purity as a sister. And that's your brother, and you're supposed to love him with all godliness and all purity. You know, instead of undermining a man's home. Oh, somebody says now, Brother Pike, you know nobody would do that in Bethlehem. There are some sitting right here in your midst tonight. I've already seen them sitting right here. I've talked to them. They confessed that they tried to undermine some people's home. Some men undermining other men's home, trying to take their wives. They confessed it to me. You know why they confessed it? Because they knew that I knew it. And when I approached them on some things, they couldn't hide it, and they knew it, so they just broke down and told me the story of it. That's the way it is. Yeah, I'm talking about people at Bethlehem. So, it has happened at Bethlehem. Men have taken other men's wives, and women have taken the husbands. It has happened. And it happens everywhere, and it happens all the time. And when I look at you, all of us, while we're nice gentlemen, you know, and ladies, and we're just the finest kind of thing, you know. We're just the finest kind of thing. The cream of the crop. And so we are by the blood of Jesus. Nothing less. But when God looks at us, we are just a bunch of dirty, filthy rags. Our thoughts are continually evil. You know, and we got a problem. Come on, folks. We got a problem. So then what should I do? I should try to work with God, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. I should get my thoughts right. I should wrestle with them. I should fight. Paul teaches that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling against me. God isn't angry with me. God isn't trying to destroy my body. God doesn't tell me, why, you old corruptible flesh, you ought to blow your brains out. God isn't doing that. He's saying, your body's my temple. I didn't make it to be dirty and filthy. In the origin of the creation, I didn't make it like that. But you've got an infiltration, just like a man with cancer, a man with a disease. And I'm trying to get it out of you. I let Jesus die so that it's out of you so far as my sight and salvation. It's gone. It can never touch you anymore. So far as my love for you, that gives me a chance to give you grace to where I can work with you. And now that I'm working with you, get all of that stuff out of you. Get that stuff away from you. Get that thing off of your mind. Leave the stuff alone. The Bible said, abstain from fleshly desires and fleshly lusts. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Get away from those things. See, get away from those things. They that belong to God have crucified the flesh with the lust and the affections thereof. Set your affections on things above, things in heaven. Don't be in the earth. Don't be concerned about the things of the earth. And all of the prestige of the earth and the monetary values of the earth and all the glimmer and glamour of the earth. Don't do that. I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. And of course you can tell that I'm going in a certain direction to where I can make a point here before I close. And of course that's what I'm doing. All right. So then we look at it in the fleshly perspective. We look at it in the natural side of life. And then we come together and we correlate our minds to get in one mind and one accord, of course, which is the Bible, which is the mind of Christ. See, to come to the one mind of that one prophet that God sent into the earth. That one mind on the day of Pentecost, that were in one mind, even the mind of Christ. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This mind of Christ. So through this mind, the great light comes, through those thoughts. But see, God has to translate our minds first. See, He has to translate our spirit by His grace into His presence and do away with the body by killing out the body in His sight. So now our angelic part is not in the earth anymore. It's not in the presence of all of those degraded thoughts anymore. It's not there anymore. God never sees that anymore. The blood covers that. God's looking at us as His own body. And at the end of the trail down at the Thessalonian change, all of a sudden that body will appear. And that lying vanity and that lying divination of the human body that's staying there because of Lucifer will be gone. And the world will be gone. And the rule of darkness will be gone. And the God of light will be there. And all the children of light will be there. And the shadows will go away at His coming. As the day star dawns within our heart, it's already gone away as to the inner man of the spiritual being. But down at the end of the way, Thessalonians chain, when He appears in the natural in heaven, then the great light will come. And the light will take away all of the shadows and all of the darkness of your intellectual faults and failures will be gone, and the real you will appear, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. That doesn't do away with it in the earth. There's 1,000 years restoration, and then after that, the light appears in the earth, and all of the earth, the shadows of the earth go away, and the lying vanities of all things go away then. And we have to be processed. We have to be changed, caught up into that world where we can come back after the millennium, being through the veil of the Jewish regime as head of the nation. During the time of restoration, we have to be caught up first. Before that restitution, being the unveiled light, we go up because we're unveiled. Calvary's already unveiled us, but it does not yet appear as to the unveiling of the masterpiece until the sculpture finishes, and then at the coming of the Lord, the veil's taken away, and up we go because we outshine the noonday sun. We couldn't stay in the earth. We're one with God, one with the great light, and then after the millennium, after everything is restored, all species is restored, then we come back. We come back to unveil that great, marvelous light, and then all the lying vanities of that which Satan is a ruler of will be gone away. And Satan himself will be bound, and that will be destroyed, because he already will have been bound 1,000 years during the millennium for the restored. All right. So then I said that again to remind you that we've got a problem. God can't do away with the world. He can't, because Satan is in power. And the cup of the Egyptians, as to their iniquity, is not yet full. But when it is full, according to His time element, then God will do away with it. I have to tolerate the law. Who is the law? It's Esau. I have to tolerate the president and the governors and the senators. I have to tolerate the constraint of all of that that's in the earth as to the great wealthy men and all of these things. I'm passing through their land. I have to tolerate it. Going through the land of Esau, heading for Canaan. So I have to pay my way. I have to tolerate that. Why do I have to tolerate that? Because Satan is the ruler right now. He's the prince of this world. And the kingdoms of this world have not yet become the kingdoms of God and of His Christ, so far as the change in the human realms or in the earthly realms. It already has. As in the angelic realms, as by Calvary, the price is already paid for that which is in the natural realms. But we're waiting to wit the redemption. All right, so then you see where we're at. That's why I have to put up with it. I have to just work my way around and pray and ease along and do everything and use wisdom and try to believe to get around all of this world of corruption, because Satan is in rule. Satan is the one that has control of everything in the earth, and the people are under Satan's control, and the Bible said he takes them into captivity at his desire or his will. They drink, they frolic, they fight. They do everything. They run to the dog's game and the skating rinks and out to everything. You know, it's just a world of frolic. That's all it is. But folks, our day will come. Our day will come. Like the songwriter says, our day will come. Jesus said one time, said, it's your time always. He said, my time is not yet come. That is, you just wait. I'll sit on the throne. You just wait. I'll straighten it out. You just wait. I'll come back on the white horse. You just wait. One day the Heavenly Father will say, son, you go do it. That'll be my day. Then Satan will see what it's all about. All right, so then we see this. Let me say a few more things to you. Here, there's so many things I'd like to say to you. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as spirituals. See, if we're going to have fellowship with angels, if we're going to have fellowship with spirits, you know, we've got to be spiritual. We are so unspiritual till we go around and, you know, and we didn't eat any breakfast this morning and we wonder. We think, well, I didn't eat any breakfast this morning. You know, I can't understand why an angel didn't appear to me today. You know, and believe it or not, folks, if we went 8 or 10 days without any breakfast, dinner or supper, and if an angel appeared, it would probably scare us half to death. We'd probably have a heart attack and die. So anyway, God is trying to get us spiritual to where we can fellowship spirits because they're with you. There's both good and bad around you. They're all around you. There's angelic beings that's right now in this place right here. I mean great, mighty angelic beings. Daniel went 21 days fasting, and then the angel of God came and appeared to him. And even then, after 21 days, it made Daniel so sick that he was like a dead man. He fell down on his face and he said, I retain no strength. The force and presence of the angel was so great and mighty that Daniel didn't even have enough strength to get up. And the angel had to touch him and strengthen him to put him up on his feet. So you see the power of an angelic being if they should come around you. Now you might dream about one, but I'm talking about when he appears, when he comes to you. It's a different thing altogether. So they are ministering spirits. They minister strength to us, but they do it to where you can't see them. Unawares, they're there. And when you're cast down and the devil has just plowed your field and up here you can't think nothing good and you can't be inspired, you're so tore up that you could blow your brains out. You know, you think, I love my wife. She don't love me. I might as well just end it all. And the devil said, that's the best thought you ever had. You know? And if God don't come along and say, hey, don't do that. Something's worth living for. Something's worth living for, you know. If he didn't do that, folks, there's no telling what we'd do. Like Tony was telling me the other day, he got so in despair, he said he was down in Louisiana. And, I won't say what happened anyway. Tony said he was so in despair. He said he was just driving down the road in his truck and he just got to thinking, there come a big old 14-wheeler or whatever. He said, I know what I'll do. So I just cut right in front of him. And he said he was ready to do it. He didn't know what stopped him. Couldn't figure out just exactly what stopped him. But somehow God spared him. Like Brother Branham, who was up on that telephone post, you know, and his wife had died, his little girl had died, and he was a linesman. He was trying to work for a living, and up there, and he knew it. He hadn't carried the message. He hadn't preached the gospel. He'd been joning on the Lord, you know, and he was trying to get away from religion, get that out of his mind, because he knew that's why it all happened. And said while he was up there, and the sun shining bright, all of a sudden the sun striking him on the telephone pulse, he said, and there it was, a man hanging on the cross, and said it was so much, said he just couldn't take it, said he just reached up and grabbed a hot wire to end it. And said when he did, he wound up down at the bottom of the telephone post, probably with a hard bump. Had to get up and start all over again. See, because God wouldn't let him do it. So, we've got a problem, folks. And let me bring this to a close by saying just a few little things here. See, let's look at it like this. I can't really say the things I'd like to say to you, nor detail them. It would take too long. But let me just say this little something here. See, we are an angelic being on the inside. How do you understand that? Raise your hand if you understand that. Are you listening to me? Raise your hand if you're listening to me. All right, we are an angelic being on the inside. Being an angelic being, then, I won't go into this tonight. I've went into some of it. There is three powers that are there. Sovereign powers. Powers of rulership, three domineering powers. And that means there's three minds that's using your one brain. I say this so often.
You've got three minds using your one brain. I can tell that I'm not going to be able to get through this tonight. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about closing right here because I don't really have the hunger and interest for this point of it. And this is what I was leading up to right here. Maybe we won't go any farther with this right here. There's something that I would like to say there, but I feel sure that I don't have the strength of your interest. You've been real good. You've listened real good as to the first of it. And this seems like this is always our problem. If we get into something, we have to go so far with the natural things to bring them around to where we can get into the spiritual revelation of the spiritual lesson. And when we get there, well, it's just about time for us to go. We want to go. We're restless. Or we can't absolve, or we feel like Brother Pike's taking too long, or whatever. So we're going to stand together, and another night, we'll come back another night, the good Lord's willing, another day, and maybe you'll feel different, you know. And maybe I can bring out this. This is something beautiful that I know that you need and should have. I know that you should have it. But nevertheless, you know, we'll just counsel out on it tonight. Let's everybody stand together. We'll sing a little chorus together. I hope that you have enjoyed what I've said and you've applied what I've said to your heart. Though we did not get into our lesson, at least we did to bring about a formula as to a formulated approach. Maybe later we can talk about the thing that I really know that you need this. I know that you need this. I was watching our brother Roe. He was really wanting to hear what we had to say there because he felt like it was leading up to something. Do you really love the Lord?
Yes, amen. Praise God.
Really need to stop and think. I know that this probably won't strike you maybe as right, but we count ourselves unworthy a lot of times. It's like Paul one time, he shook his raiment and he said, you count yourself unworthy, I'll go to the Gentiles, speaking to the Jews. And I don't feel that way towards you tonight. You've tried to listen. But I do say that a lot of times we can count ourselves unworthy because in our mind we reason. And the carnal mind is enmity with God. And we reason, and because of this, there's no good thing in the flesh. Men's thoughts are continually evil. When we think of thoughts being evil, we say, well, I didn't think no dirty thoughts. But see, all Peter had to do to the Lord Jesus is say, nay, be it far from you. And that was dirty, evil thoughts. That was Satan. And a lot of times our human reasoning, it causes us to judge ourselves to be unworthy of the wonderful things of God. And we don't have the time. We don't have the time. You know, it's like I said so many times concerning Hezekiah or them of the Old Testament. The Bible speaks of different ones and gave a little time to God. A man takes a few minutes for God. God gives him 15 years more to live. The man says, I can't go to church tonight. I can't think on the things of God. I've got to take care of my business. I've got to do this. I'll think on that later. I want to talk a little bit. I want to do a little something on my own. So God takes 15 years off of his life. There's people in the world today. Some of them are of great age. Some of them 70 and 80. Whereas many have died at a very early age. Very early age. Others have lived longer because they took a little time for God. They're still alive today. Some that didn't take time, they're not here today. They're gone. Numbers of people that are in confinement, in hospitals, problems, wherever, because they didn't have a little time for Christ. And so then God didn't have no time for them. So it's necessitated, it is very essential to our life that we give some time to God. I want the love of God to emanate from my being. I want it to go out. I want people to know that it's in there. Something is going to come out of it. Something is coming out. Take a rotten potato. There's something that comes out from it. Isn't it right? Take a beautiful rose. There's something that comes out from it. So something is going to come out from you. One way or another, something is going to come out from you. Disputes, things, we contest things with people, argument, being protestant, maybe not for the right thing. Sometimes you need to be for the right thing. Something's going to come out. You're going to absorb something, you're going to give off something. But a lot of times we count ourselves unworthy because we don't have the time. And the Lord won't bother us. He's like a dove. Used to, here at Bethlehem, I'd scold you quite a bit. You remember that. One thing is because you wasn't shaping up like you need to be. And I knew that down the road you're going to have heartaches and sorrows. And the preacher does that to try to keep you from having them heartaches. But we get rebellious and stubborn. We say, bless God, ain't going to have it that way. It's going to be this way. It's going to be this way. And then we wind up with heartaches and sorrows. Yeah, it didn't happen to me. 2 days goes by, 2 months goes by. It didn't happen to me. But then after a while, it does happen. Then we say, oh my God, I don't want it like that. I change it, but it's too late. Too late. A little brother come the other day and put his arms around my neck. I've been praying for him. I said, God, you're going to do something for him. You're not going to let him be in confinement. Sure enough, God done something for him. He's not in confinement. He's in a place to where he can go out and work a little and come back and visit a little. And I think at that particular time, if I'm not mistaken, I think he had 12 hours to visit with us. See, praying, prayer changes things. I'm always praying for people. But a lot of times the reason that I rebuked you wasn't because of that. I saw that you wasn't hungering and thirsting after the things of God. And I wanted to put you under pressure to make you change your mind. But I found out you couldn't do that. The Lord said, don't do that. He said, don't do that. Let whosoever will, don't do that. He said, that won't help them. That won't do no good. All you do is just get them riled up. And won't do any good. So I left off with it. And, like I have heard of Brother Branham coming to a service, the best I remember, come to a service, never preach, dismiss and go home. Just say it wasn't there. There ain't no need to start tonight. I remember, I believe it was Brother Freddie Gray that came into a service, was going to preach, whoever it was, and he got up and he dismissed the service and he left. See, so a lot of times we judge ourselves unworthy because we don't have a little bit of time to get the heavenly order of things and the heavenly blessings and the heavenly understanding that he would have us to have. And we miss out, folks. And listen, you can shorten your days by that. But the main thing is this, is that when you cross over to the other side, even if you are a Christian, you're going to be lacking. Instead of having a little satchel full of gems, as we say, filled up to the top, you may not have but one or two. Others labored 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, going on to a full reward. One man's measure this, another man's measure that. And so, well, it don't matter to me. Well, today, let me ask you if it matters. Today, one man has got $1,000, the other man's got $10,000, the other man's got $10 million, and the other man's got $1 million. One's got a Rolls Royce, and one's got a Lincoln, and the other's got a bicycle. And the other one can't even afford that. One lives in a shack. One lays out on the grounds with nothing over his head, down on Skid Row, and the rat eating his ears off. Another lays in a nice bed on a hot night with an air conditioner. See, if it doesn't matter, why do we run for those conveniences? Why do we try to get those conveniences? Why do we want all those things? That's what I'm going to talk about tonight. I really had something to say. But anyway, it matters. And when you get over on the other side, it's going to matter. It's going to matter. See, so you need to give yourself fully to God. Lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal. And where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your
treasures are, there your heart will be also. Let your conversation be in heaven. See, go after the heavenly things. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. Be heavenly minded. Be heavenly concerned. Be heavenly oriented as you go through life. I was praying for Junior the other night. I really love Junior. I appreciate him and his little wife and our little grandbaby. I really appreciate it, you know. And I was praying the other night, praying for Tony. And I was praying, and I prayed numbers of nights for Junior. I pray for him all the time. But I was praying just the other night, praying for him and Denny and Joe and Tony. And I said, Lord, put Junior back in church. He don't need to be out of church. Junior's been out of church a number of days. I said, he don't need to be out of church. You don't need to be out of church. I pray for you. I pray for your loved ones. I pray, God, please don't let the little ones get killed. Don't let nothing happen to them. Please don't, Lord. Please don't let their daughters and sons be ravished. Don't let things happen to them. Don't let them lose their health. God, give them a concern about something outside of a dollar, outside of some fame and popularity, outside of some foolishness. Give them some concern for treasures that are real, treasures that last. You don't ever know when God's going to call you, young or old. He may call me before morning or you before morning. Before we get home, he may call us. Young or old, it doesn't matter. Somebody said it uptown here the other day, was it? Somebody come trying to tell me today that their mother said that car went around a curb and went somewhere, and all of a sudden the thing turned over and it just blowed up all to pieces, and I don't know what it was. Or tore all to pieces and they couldn't find the boy. He was tore all to pieces. Probably ain't got it right, but anyway, it was something that happened. See, you don't ever know. You just don't ever know. I want you to bow your heads with me. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar. The altars are open if you'd like to come. They're always open if you'd like to come. Great things are taking place. Great and mighty things are happening. And God is doing such marvelous things. But the inconvenience, and this is the thing I would have liked to have talked about tonight. It sure would have hoped you. Sure would have opened your eyes. But anyway, these are the things that has kept us back from the great, wonderful riches of God and the great treasures. These are the things. So, what do we have? We have our monetary values in life. We have the things that we desire. But then where is eternal life? Where is the wonderful, eternal splendor and magnificence of heavenly securities and riches? Lost in the shuffle. Like the song we sing sometimes, I'm going back to the chapel. Said, for I was lost there in the shuffle. Couldn't find my way. I'm going back to the chapel. What happened to me, the writer said. I know. I was lost in the shuffle, he said, and I lost hold of his hand. And I'm going back to the chapel, and I'm going to search, and I'm going to search. That's where I found him, in the chapel. And I'm going back to the chapel, and I'm going to search until I can find that hand again. Like the writer said again, invisible hands that guide me. Invisible hands that show me the way. I'm going back. I'm going to get a hold of that hand. I'm going to search. See, that's what we need to do, folks. We need to do that. We need to get back into the stride of Christ. Brother Steve was sitting in men's meeting on a Monday night, and the Lord spoke to me about him. And the following day, I told some of them, I said, something happened to Steve. I said, I picked up his spirit, and God had spoke to him and dealt with him. And God's done something for Steve that's turned him clear around and really making him to understand. And sure enough, the following day, I heard Steve out there testifying to some of them that this very thing happened to him. See, that's so wonderful. Folks, people go to church all of the days of their life and never get their eyes open. Never. It's just routine. As far as they're concerned, they were brought up in church. They've always went to church. They're good folks. They love the Lord. They understand it. You know, there's nothing to get excited about. They understand it. It's them other people that never was brought up in it. They're getting all excited because they wasn't brought up in it. But that isn't the way it is at all. You go, you're in routine. You may see, you may understand all the religious things of it.
But it's not possible for you to see this and not get excited. You could have come up in this all your life, and still one little thing that God shows you. I've been at home and he'd show me one thing and I'd dance like a wild Indian. Wouldn't be nobody around but me. But I'd holler and scream and dance and shout and praise God just like a wild Indian. Why? There ain't nothing else you can do when you get a hold of this. See, I try to hold my composure in church. A lot of times I try to hold my composure. And sometimes I get beside myself and I scream and holler. Well, anyway, I want you to lift your hands up with me. Let's close our eyes. If you'd like to come to the altar, you can. And Heavenly Father, we know that if we're here one day, or if we'll live another day, Father, or if we should live weeks or months or even years, dear God, if we should live years and some here perhaps, will, Lord, if you tarry, God, at the end of the way, at the last day, after all of life is over and everything is finished, really we haven't done anything, Father, unless we've done something for you. And dear God, when men become aged, and when that lonely hour and that distressing moment comes, that will come to everyone. When it comes, then we begin to reminisce. And then when we begin to look back, and then we wonder what we did. He said to remember the Creator in the days of our youth, before the evil days draw nigh, when we'll look and say we have no pleasure in those things. But Father, as the sowing, so is the reaping. For you have said in your word that you're not mocked, and whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he shall of that reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he's going to reap eternal things, eternal life, an eternal future, eternal security. So Father, help us to sow the righteous seeds, as the songwriter said, for the reaping which is coming to each and every one. That we can rejoice on that day when we hear Jesus say, "Come, ye blessed, a crown ye have won." And while we're standing here, Father, if there be anyone here that has not made the great commitment, Father, that has not called on your name, that has not committed their soul to your trust, and I pray that you'd save them. I pray that you would heal the sick bodies. Save the sin-sick souls. Dear God, relieve the oppressed minds and spirits. Drive out the demon powers. Give them liberty. For wherever the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. If the Spirit of God be within my being, Father, then do I have liberty. If it be within the church, then do we have liberty. If it be within the home, then do we have liberty. Liberty from the binding spirits of oppression, fears and sickness and problems and bewilderments. The evil complex of life, Father. So while we're standing here, help us. Bless them that's gone down to the boat. Bless them that's in other places. Bless them that's around the world. Father, I pray that you'd bless these people. I pray that you'd bless Benny, heal Benny's body. Father, bless our missionary brother that's come over from India. Bless the others that's visiting with us. Let us be partakers of the divine nature of Jesus. Let us be partakers, Father, all together. While I'm going to ask Brother David Burton to come up, if he will, and dismiss us. While David comes to pray with us, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Folks, you'll be so glad. You might not think too much of this preacher. But if there ever comes a day, and there will come a day if Jesus tarries, it will come. You can count on it. It's not a matter of whether it might come. It will come to your house. One day the grim reaper is going to come to your house. It might be 10 years. It might be 2 years. It might be 2 days. But one day he will come. Unless Jesus comes back and the Thessalonian change takes place, he will come to your house, young or old. You're going to grow up. You're going to grow to that day. and the grim reaper is going to come to your house. That darling little child that you cherish, that's so precious, one day, if it lives, it will become an aged person, and the grim reaper will come to that darling little fellow. And you, that precious wife of yours, that you can't hardly think of death striking her, or she can't hardly think of death striking you as young men and women, it will come. Someday, it will come. As you go on down the trail, things will change. Things will change. Age will begin to claim you. Whether it's baldness, whether it's the graying of the hair, whether it's the losing of the strength, or the disfiguring of the face or the body, the grim reaper is coming over to your place. And then on that day, you're going to think more of this preacher than you ever have in your life if you listen to what I've told you. And you're going to think, my God, why didn't I listen? If you don't listen. And you'd give 10 million worlds at that time without batting an eyelash if you could just call back the time. See, because it's going to come to your place. Everybody in Japan, everybody in Germany, everybody in America, everybody in India, everybody in every place of the world. One day the Grim Reaper knocks on their door. The president, the celebrities, the great fame people, whatever, the rich, the poor, the billionaire. One day death says, you'll have to go with me. And you can't put up an excuse. Like the song we wrote, don't have time right now. But when the Grim Reaper comes, you take time. Somebody said, I'm too busy to stay in church. I can't leave my business. I can't leave my post of duty. I've got to leave early. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't leave my children. But when the Grim Reaper comes, you'll leave them there, little or old, young or whatever, the children, the brother, the mother, the indebtedness, the bills you owe, everything, you'll leave every bit of it. Your responsibility, you'll leave it. The preacher will leave his congregation, and the congregation will leave the preacher. And it's coming, the Grim Reaper. Somebody said, why do you see those things, Brother Pike? Because people are dying every day. I wrestled night before last or in the last night or two. And I wrestled, I believe it was after 5 o'clock in the morning when I finally lay down, not to get back up to sleep, try to sleep some on my bed. Because the Lord let me know that something was about to strike the youth. There's people that are rebellious that won't listen to me. They're pushy about doing things. And a lot of times they look at me and they say, you know, you allowed for this, and you let them do this, and you let your children do this, and whatever. Not knowing how much I didn't want those things, prayed against it and begged God to protect. But they're going to prove to me they can do it too. Put me on the spot. So if I see anything, they can point their finger at me. But folks, I'm telling you, I'm doing what I'm doing for your good. Someday you'll know that. But the Grim Reaper, I'm going to pass on, change the service a little bit in just a few minutes, pass on from this thought. But right now I want to emphasize the fact that the Grim Reaper is coming over to your house, every one of you. He's going to come down to your place. You're getting older all the time, every day. You're moving toward death. From the time you're born into this world, you're one day nearer to death every day. You're not moving toward life, you're moving toward death. So, I want you to think it over. It's going to come to your house. Then, when it comes to your house, all these people that are supposed to be so spiritualist doing all this prophesying, all these preachers that are supposed to be so spiritualist doing all this preaching, all these people that's running all over the place that said, God told me this and God told me that, and God sent me over there and God sent me here, when the Bible said, howbeit God hath not spoken. And that prophet that prophesies presumptuously something when God has not said it, the Bible said, and that prophet shall die. All these things has been your wild ideas and your wild notion, and God hasn't said anything to you. Then we'll see how you feel. It'll be so different. while you're eating and drinking and running and laughing and going and people looking at you, listening to you, you feel like a great prophetess, great prophet. Paul said, you that feel like you're spiritual and you're these kind of things, you better acknowledge that these things that I tell you is the commandments of God. When you go to press your death pillar, all of them things are going to sour on you. And you're going to say, oh my God, it wasn't really God. Lord, I don't know why I ever said that. I was a fool, God. I should never have said that. Because that grim reaper death is going to be reaching for you. And all of your thinking isn't going to change it because you lived hypocritical. You didn't live right. You knew those things wasn't right. You pressed over your feelings. You went on. And everybody that warned you, you walked right over them. The grim reaper's coming down to your place, folks. He's coming, as I said, at 5 o'clock in the morning. After 5 o'clock, I finally got in bed. Because not only the youth, but he let me know others were going. I said here a few weeks ago, I said, the grim reaper is fixing to strike. He's going to strike people that's connected with this work, related to this work. Since that time, Brother Hollis's mother went out just a few days ago. Since that time, Sister Lambert's sister went out. Brother Hollis's mother was almost 80. But Sister Lambert's sister, I don't think she was about 40-something. Maybe in her early 40s, I don't know. Brother Hollis's mother was about 80. That's a good old age. Trying to hurry along here. Satan tries to confuse me when I try to hurry. But anyway, I don't want to keep you. But I want to get these thoughts over. You understand what I'm saying, folks? Others have passed on. Others have died since I made that statement. So you need to really get in line. You need to pray. You need to plead with God. You need to ask God to help you. You need to do it. All right, Brother David is coming and praying for you tonight. And while he's praying, think it over. Think it over, because you might sit there and think, well, or you that hear me might say, well, Brother Pike, I know it's coming, but it's not for me. It isn't that way with me, but it could be you. It could be you. It could be a wreck to the young ones. It could be you. I want to tell this and then I'm going to close out here. Tony again told me, he said, Brother Pike, said, I was wild in my real early life in Louisiana and said some bad things happened. And he said, I remember one occasion where one of my best friends got killed and said, Brother Pike, I would have been in that car. Said, I would have been in that car. Said, I was always there with him. And he said, out on the highway there, he got killed, driving too fast. And I don't even think they could even find the boy. I think they had to pick up the pieces, I believe he said. Pick up the pieces. And he said the bad part was the boy hit another one of his friends head on. And he was just telling us some things of a boy that flipped out of the back of the truck. Got up. Throwing some things at a sign, riding down the road. Got up after he flipped off, hit the pavement, got up, everything seemed to be fine. Took him to the hospital, had to give him a shot because of the jolt. Never did wake up anymore. You never know. Young folks, old folks, middle-aged folks, boys, girls, men, women, whatever. All right, Brother David.